Matthew, the second chapter, verses 7 through 12. Then Herod called the Magi and the wise men secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by a different way, another route. I want to preach this morning, if you don't mind, for the time that is mine. I want to preach on the sermon subject on this Christmas Sunday, three lessons from three wise men. Three lessons from three wise men. God, in Jesus' name, we just want to say thank you for the time that is yours. Have your way, God. Decrease me, increase your spirit. We thank you this morning, God. God, sometimes you remind us just to be still and remember who you are for us. We thank you for Jesus Christ. In the midst of all the noise, all the crowds, all the hurry during this Christmas season, God, we thank you for the moment of stillness to remember what this season is truly about. If it had not been for Jesus, if it had not been for the Lord that was on our side. So God, we thank you this morning for this Christmas season, this Advent season. We thank you. This is not just a holiday, but God, this is Christmas, God, because what we will not do, we will not take Christ out of Christmas. So God, in Jesus' name, God, speak a word that allows us to leave here changed, different, and so that we can share with the dying world that Jesus still lives. It's in Jesus' name we want to say thank you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen, and amen. Three lessons from three wise men. There is an old gospel song that says, "When I see Jesus, amen. When I see the man from Galilee, when I see the man that set me free, amen. All of my troubles, all of my heartaches, all of my disappointments, they will be over. When I see Jesus, amen." You see, the songwriter in this hymn understood that an encounter with Jesus had the possibility to change his current circumstance and reposition his situation. He understood that something had to take place when he actually saw Jesus. When he saw Jesus, something had to get fixed. Something had to be worked out. Something had to get rearranged when he was in the presence of Jesus the Christ. Is there anybody here that since your first encounter with Jesus, circumstances have changed and situations have been repositioned and issues have been eliminated and tests have actually turned into some of your greatest testimonies? Is there anybody here on this Christmas Sunday that is a witness to the impact that Jesus has had on your life? I dare you to give God praise just because you know you've seen Jesus for yourself. But there's a caveat, there's a turn I gotta take, if you don't mind, because for some reason, during the Christmas season, the main character is sometimes invisible behind all the other stuff that has tried to replace him. Santa Claus and bright lights, gifts under trees, and all the expectations that come with the holiday season attempt to consciously hijack Christ out of Christmas. while subconsciously in our own selves, we support the commercialism and capitalism that is associated with the overt conspiracy. I know y'all don't want to talk about it this morning. It's all God. It's all good because it's all God. Amen. And so Christmas becomes something that it was never intended to be. Okay. The season of hope, faith, and praise becomes a season full of depression, desolation, and despair. Families struggling to make ends meet are also struggling to make their children feel a part of a holiday in which gift giving creates more debt than it ever will smiles in true joy. But it is up to us to not allow the world to define what Christmas means for a Christian. We are not allowed to conform to the pattern of this world, but we are to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. You see, we are both obligated and required to not fall into the trap of the Christmas season that is minus Christ and turns our holy day into just another holiday. No. We got to make sure at every opportunity to let everybody know Jesus is not only the reason for the season, but he is the creator of all seasons. Look at somebody telling them, I know what Christmas means for me. And so I feel during this season that there are three people who I have grown to love over the years and during this Christmas season, and that is these three wise men, because I believe that these three brothers, they give us some lessons that can help us during this Advent season so that we will always remember what the Christmas season is really about. They help us not to get lost in the sauce. And they help to remind us why we're really here and what the birth of Jesus Christ really means. And so if you don't mind, I just want to take a few minutes and I want to show y'all some lessons that I believe that these three wise men are trying to teach us in the text. The first thing I believe that the three wise men are trying to teach us in the text is that there is a reason for joy. Look at somebody, tell them you ought to have some joy. You ought to have some joy. The text says that when the wise men had a star that went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where Jesus was. And in verse 10, it says, when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. Another version says they were overwhelmed with joy. In other words, when they saw Jesus, they had a joy that was almost too much to explain and comprehend. The reason I like this text is because it shows that Christmas should make us overjoyed. We should not be depressed. We should not be down. But Christmas, the real reason of Christmas, should make us overjoyed. It should remind us of the hope that comes from knowing and seeing Jesus for ourselves and knowing how important his birth is for all of us. And sometimes during Christmas, I get discouraged. Can I tell you the truth? I get discouraged meeting Christians who have no joy. You ask them, are you ready for Christmas? Oh, I just wanted to hurry up and get over with. I'm tired of this season. I just can't wait till the new year. Because they've gotten so caught up in the noise and in the crowds, in the shoppings, and all of the hurry and that goes along with Christmas, that they forget the real reason. And so during this season, dealing with Christians, I don't know about you, who are constantly complaining about what they don't have but have lost gratitude for what they do have. I get tired of Christians who look like they've been sucking on lemons and then baptized in vinegar. I get tired of Christians who appear to have lost the very thing that Jesus came to bring us, and that is joy. Psalm 4:7 says, you have given me greater joy than those who have abundant harvests of grain and new wine. In other words, my joy is not connected to the stuff I have, but it's connected to the one who I know has need. My joy is not connected to what's under the tree. My joy is connected to the one that hung on a tree. My joy is connected not to some gifts, but my joy is connected to the gift giver. And he gave me Christ. As Christians, we need to understand that it was a star that led all of us to Christ. There should be some joy that overwhelms us. There should be some joy that constantly reminds us of the goodness and the mercies of Jesus. There should be some joy that wipes away our tears and comforts all of our fears. There should be some joy that we can hold on to even when we go through storms and difficult times. I'm talking about joy. I ain't talking about any old joy, but I'm talking about Jesus' joy. Joy that cannot be eliminated. Joy that cannot be extinguished. Joy that cannot be canceled out. Joy that cannot be defeated. Joy that does not expire, that is not ignored, that cannot be erased. I'm talking about joy because this joy that I have, the world did not give it, and the world cannot take it away. I wish I had 10 Christians that would act like you got. Look at somebody, tell them I got joy. I didn't pay for it. I didn't find it at Macy's. I didn't pick it up at Nordstrom's. It didn't get wrapped under a tree. But I thank God I got a joy that surpasses all understanding. A joy that keeps me. A joy that wipes my tears. A joy that holds me and comforts me. I got joy. Second thing, Reverend Doctor, not only do the three wise men teach us that we ought to have some joy, but the three wise men also teach us that our gifts have kingdom purpose. Look at somebody, tell them you got gifts with kingdom purpose. That's what you got. Thing I like about the wise men is that when they came to Jesus, they did not come empty-handed. The Bible says they presented Jesus with gold, frankincense, and myrrh. You understand, each gift they brought had a significant purpose. Gold was given to a king. Frankincense was given as a gift to a priest. And myrrh was a gift given to someone who was going to die. They understood even before they got to Jesus that the gifts they had kingdom purpose. They understood that Jesus could be a king that would reign forever. They understood that Jesus could be the high priest that would intercede for us. They understood that Jesus would be a savior that would be crucified. And so they came with specific gifts that had kingdom purpose. They did not bring him an Xbox or a 360. They did not bring him toys from Amazon. No. These gifts were gifts that were specific to kingdom purpose. Look at somebody, tell them, you got gifts with kingdom purpose. That's what you have. And the challenge for many of us during the Christmas season is that we spend so much time looking to provide gifts that don't have any kingdom purpose, gifts that are temporary, but not eternal, gifts that have expiration dates, gifts that will not fit us next year, gifts that will be broken before we even get to 2020. I'm talking about gifts that have no real significance to who we are and to the God that we serve, but we will spend more time researching and analyzing and scrutinizing these gifts instead of sharing the God-given gifts that we have that will impact kingdom business. Look at somebody, tell them, I got gifts with a kingdom purpose. That's what I got. I got gifts with a kingdom purpose. And sometimes the challenge for many of us is we have no idea just how significant the gifts are that God has given us. There is nothing, there is not one gift that God has given you that has not been given with a specific purpose to impact impact souls and touch lives. I'm not talking about gifts under the tree. I'm talking about gifts deep down inside of you that God has given you. Every gift we've been blessed with is also a gift that should be used to God's honor and God's glory. The wise men did not bring gifts that would benefit them, but they brought gifts that would honor Jesus. Their gifts had more than a price tag, but their gifts had purpose. Tell somebody, my gifts got purpose. I know it may not cost a lot to you, but this gift matters because God wants me to use my gifts to bless the world. And I know you may not see much in what I got to bring, but I thank God that every good and perfect gift comes from God. And if God gave it to me, God wants me to use it. God wants me to use it for his glory. Doesn't matter what your gift is, just bring your gift to Jesus. Doesn't matter how big or how small you think your gift is, just bring your gift to Jesus. Doesn't matter what others think about your gift. Matter of fact, there's folks who will discount your gift and will minimize your gift and will try to marginalize your gift and will try to make you feel like your gift don't mean nothing. But you need to let them know this gift ain't for you, but this gift is for the kingdom. And when I give this gift to the kingdom, you don't even know what God will do with it, because God will use this little old gift to bless the world. Talk to me, little boy with two fish and five loaves. All he said is that I get this little thing into the hands of the master, I know he can feed 5,000. I wish I had some Christians on this Christmas season that would understand, I don't care how much money you spent for your children, that God's got gifts in you that will bless this entire world. My gifts got kingdom purpose. The last thing these brothers show us, they show us that our gifts have kingdom purpose. They show us that during this Advent season that we ought to have joy. But they also show us that when we meet Jesus, we should leave different. Tell somebody you can't stay the same. Verse 8. You see that the wise men came to Jesus coming one way. But after their encounter with Jesus, in verse 12, they were told in the dreams to return to the country by a different way. The wise men found themselves in the presence of baby Jesus. And once they got to Jesus, and it says they were warned in a dream to go back differently than how they came. In order for Jesus to remain alive and the coming Savior to remain safe, the wise men had to alter their actions to keep King Herod from finding out where Jesus was. And they had to align their actions to make sure that it was in alignment with the path of God's prophecy. What they told me, they said, Rev, they said, what we learned that day, said, whenever we encounter Jesus, we ought to go back different than how we came. They said, something ought to change in our spirits. Something ought to happen that renews our minds and transforms our hearts. Something ought to speak to both our conscious and subconscious mind that creates a shift inside of us that causes conversion outside of us. Because the Bible was always reminding us that if anyone is in Christ Jesus, they are a new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, we are becoming new. We are becoming different. Too many times we experience the proximity of Jesus, without being changed by the presence of Jesus. In other words, we are in the room, but not touched by the room. We can sit in pews, but still not feel his presence. And so in our personal and spiritual lives, we end up staying stagnant. We end up still living the same lives, still doing the same old stuff, and still acting the same ways that are contrary to the Jesus we have come in contact with. But whenever there's a meetup with Jesus, look at somebody, tell them, I had a meetup with Jesus. We should go back differently than how we came. Whenever we find ourselves in the presence of Jesus, the Christ, it should permutate a perspective that promotes a position pertinent to our prevailing prophecy. What prophecy am I talking about? I'm talking about the prophecy of God. The God spoke in us and knew about us before he formed us in our mother's womb. You see, a prophecy is what is told before it happens. And so even though you may not be what you want to be, anybody thank God that you're not what you used to be. So although we may have come into church, well, God wants us to know that we can leave different. I don't know what you came in with, but God says whenever there's a meetup with Jesus, there's an opportunity for you to leave differently. Some of us came in distraught, but look at somebody, tell them, but I'm about to leave with peace. Somebody came in down, but I'm about to leave liberated. Somebody came in depressed, but there, I'm about to leave encouraged. Somebody came in confused, but I'm about to leave with clarity. Somebody came in hurt, but about to leave healed. Somebody came in broken, but about to leave restored. Somebody came in attacked, but I don't know who you are and as attacked as you've been, but I just came to tell you that you're about to leave with victory. And so this Christmas season, I don't need another gift for somebody to give me. I don't need another present to make me feel fulfilled. But because I met a man named Jesus, I already know I got everything I'll ever need. Is there a witness this morning? Because you know a man named Jesus. The songwriter said, Jesus is all the world to me. My life, my joy, my all. He is my strength from day to day. Without him, I withdraw. When I'm sad, to him I go. No other can cheer me so. When I'm sad, he makes me glad. 'Cause Jesus is my friend. I wish I had somebody that could testify that he is my friend. He is my friend. He is my friend. Is there anybody on this Christmas season that can give God glory? 'Cause he's everything. He's everything. He's everything I need. Stand all over the church. He is everything. He's everything that I need. Anybody know that he's all I need? Anybody know that when I needed a doctor, he healed me? When I needed a loan, he paid for it. Anybody know that when I needed somebody to touch my mind, he gave me peace? Anybody know that when my heart was broken, he mended it? Anybody know When my children were running all over the place, he saved them. Anybody know when my marriage was a mess, he still made a way. I wish I had somebody that would understand that during this Christmas season, you got a reason to be glad. You got a reason to give God glory. You got a reason to tell God thank you. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care how many gifts you got under your tree, whether it's a little bit or a lot. Can I tell you what I do know? Jesus is enough. That's all you need to know. Jesus is enough. So I refuse to let the enemy win by getting depressed during a season that I should have joy. I refuse to let the enemy get the victory over my mind when I should still be there to give God glory for everything he's done. I refuse to be downed by sadness and be downed by feeling down and be downed by feeling like God has forsaken me. But I come to give God glory in the midst of whatever I'm going through. I'm going to give God glory. Now listen, I'm not trying to tell nobody how to spend your Christmas. I'm just telling you, don't spend it sad. I'm saying don't let how they define Christmas define you. If you ain't got it, you ain't got it. Keep it moving. I'll see you next year. Because the only way I can validate my love for you is by giving you something. We already on a rocky road. Sometimes you all day to tell somebody, I ain't got it this year. Just real talk. You sad, down, worried about what they gonna think. And the reality is, many times the folks who care about you don't care. I done showered you with gifts all year. And I ain't just talking physical gifts. I done showered you with prayer, with smiles, with an encouraging word, restraint. I done kept you from killing folks. You understand what I'm saying there? And so whether you get the UGG boots or not, don't get mad at me. Whether you get the UGG boots or not, she's like, oh, no, I need the UGG boots. So whether you get... So when I told my mother to get me, she said I had those joints for me. God is still good. Whether I can give everybody what I want to give them or not, God is still good. Why? Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If that's your testimony this morning, come on, give God a hand clap of praise. Do me a favor. Check your pew. Make sure everybody in your pew is saved. Make sure they got a church home. Make sure everybody in your pew is saved, got a church home. If they already saved, and you, hey, who's coming? Hey, I got a whole, is this the whole family or just? All friends, like my dad, they friends, y'all. They, like, no, we all friends. I mean, y'all family of Christ, amen, amen. Y'all, Brother Aaron, come on, y'all give God a hand clap of praise. Ain't no greater gift than that right there. Anybody else you're not saved, don't have a church home, just ask somebody in your queue. You saved, you got a church home, ask them, are you good? You good. Are you sure you good? Now listen, not if you good, if they good. If they're saved, if your neighbor's saved, that means you got to ask everybody, and you got to know. And if there's somebody that's not around you or somebody that is spaced away from you, go find out. Amen. Make sure everybody is asked, are you saved? Giving your life to Christ, accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. Do you have the church home somewhere that you're working out your soul salvation, being discipled, growing in the things of God? And if they can't say yes to either one, tell them I'll walk down with you. But if you know they're saved, your neighbor, if you know they're saved, you raise your right hand. If you know they're saved, you raise your right hand. Yeah, that's right. You testifying for them. Amen. I hope you're a credible witness, amen, because their salvation is on your hands, amen. It's on your hands. If you know they got a church home, you raise your hand, your other hand, amen. Raise your other hand. Don't look at them to see whether they raising theirs, because they raising theirs because they think you saved and they think you got a church home. Don't look at them. No, you got to know if they... Now, if you know your neighbor saved, you know your neighbor got a church home, give them a double high five. Tell them, I'm glad you saved. I'm glad you got a church home. Amen. 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 Y'all give God a hand clap of praise in the house. COH, those watching online, Merry Christmas. I pray that your Christmas be all that you desire to be. I pray that Jesus is always the main character in your house. I hope that your children know more about Jesus than they do Santa Claus. Yes, sir. That's good. They said, say it again. I hope your children know more about Jesus than they do Santa Claus. I ain't here to say nothing more than that. That's on you as a parent. I just pray that your children, so when they're asked, what's the reason for the season? I pray the first thing they say is Jesus. And then Santa Claus. Amen. For them. Not for you. When I was a child, I steak as a child. You ain't a child no more. Amen. 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 You can take your seats. We want to thank God. Oh, well, it's time to go. You know. Somebody say, welcome to the family. Say it again, welcome to the family. One last time, say welcome to the family. Amen, amen. Come on, y'all give God another hand clap of praise in the house.
God bless everybody. Look, and I need to make, and I apologize. I forgot that you all do offering not at the end of service, but midway through service. Amen. And so I came here because for Christmas, we wanted to make sure to give Reverend Bill a special Christmas offering. Amen. And so I thought I was getting here on time, and I'm really getting here late. Amen. I'd have been to the radio station and done some more, and I could have been here earlier. I just thought it was at the end of sermon rather than as it is a 10 and 12 o'clock service. And so we want to make sure, and if I could have someone to bring down baskets quickly, we want to make sure to be a blessing to Reverend Bill for Christmas. Amen. That we're taking up special offerings at 10 and 12 for myself, but we want to be a blessing to Reverend Bill. One of the things that I thank God about is that Reverend Bill literally can be everywhere that I'm not. Amen. Amen, somebody. It can be everywhere that I'm not. So I'm on radio at 8 o'clock, but Reverend Bill, we can have Hope Happy Hour because Reverend Bill can be where I'm not. Amen, somebody. And there are times in which there are hospital rooms that Reverend Bill can be in that I can't be in. And so we thank God for that. We thank God that even this past week, and here's how a week can shift. As we had funeral for our family member on Monday, flew back on Tuesday, me and Reverend Bill were flying back, caught up in flight delays, and we said to each other, at least we don't have anything to do on Wednesday until Bible study, amen. Amen. I got a call at 6 that morning. I ended up having to go to Towson for a college graduation. I was there all day. Reverend Bill, right before Bible study was happening, one of our members' sister was going home to be with the Lord. I had to come to Bible study, but Reverend Bill could go to the hospital. Amen. Because Reverend Bill can be where I can't be. Amen. I wanted to go to the hospital, but I had to come to Bible study. But Reverend Bill could go to the hospital and say, Rev, you go to Bible study. I got the hospital because Reverend Bill can be where I can't be. Amen. He's just as good as me. He could be pastoring any church in this nation. But he said, we want to be here to help build what's here because Reverend Bill can be anywhere I can't be and just as good or better than me in the space. Amen, somebody. We want to thank God for the kind of a pastor here. Amen. Well, I know we call him assistant pastor, but I call him pastor. Amen, somebody. The kind of a pastor that goes and just his whole day and week can be shifted. This week along, he was at a funeral. He was helping someone's loved one transition and in the death room and also with someone as they were getting ready to go to chemo. That's this week. I didn't say this month. I said this week. Amen. And the thing is, he only been in town 3-4 days, about 3 days out of this week, amen? And so looking at what he does, I just want us to be a tangible blessing to him today. Is that all right? Turn to your neighbor and say tangible, amen? I want him to feel it. I want him to feel it. I want him to feel it. And so if you can, if you would just lift an offering to the Lord, if you want to be able to give in the giving kiosk, just put, this is for Reverend Bill in it, amen? If you want to give on Cash App, $GiveCOH, just put in the notes section, a Reverend Bill Christmas, amen? But we want to make sure that we are being a blessing to him. Come on, let's pray. God, in Jesus' name, we thank you. And we're so grateful, God, for this man of God and for how you use him in this place so wonderfully. Now, God, bless, God, this gift as we tangibly show our love during this Christmas season. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Come on, you can just come on and give. You can just come on and give. You can just come on and give. Amen. God bless you today.